The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Pub Fiction in Midtown, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. It's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And if you miss the first hour, everything we discussed, all available at podcastarena.com, full show podcast. So jump right on there and you can hear everything you missed, which was a lot of Texans, a little college, a little bit of everything. So if you want to get in, we will try to squeeze in some phone calls. But we're out here actually at third floor, right above Pub Fiction. And just announced the Lombardi Award finalists, and they're doing some charity stuff out here. So it's a very cool place. And
try and have someone on later to talk about the charity and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And maybe see if I can get a vote.
Yeah, we'll have to see if we can make that happen.
Yeah, but you agree that I deserve a vote, right?
Yeah, I think you watch more college football than most people.
I think so too. I should be on that committee that picks the that does the rankings, right?
Well, that's the one I still kicking myself over, because I had a chance to be when the Harris poll was being used.
Yeah.
I was asked to be on that, and I turned it down.
Oh, that was dumb.
Yeah, because, well.
No, but now it's dead, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be deader than I am at this point. But I was, at the time, I just kind of felt like it was a little bit of a conflict with what I was doing with the newspaper. But I would, in retrospect, I should have done it. All right, so here we go. Here's my top 25. I still have at number 25, despite losing two in a row, I still have the Memphis Tigers. I still have a great win for their program. I mean, even though Ole Miss has kind of fallen off, that's still a big win. They've got some other quality wins. I still have them at 25. And Washington State has entered the fray at 24. Oregon has re-entered the fray at 23. Basically, this is where I put all my Pac-12 teams. USC is 22, and I have Wisconsin at 21.
God, we have almost the same 25 through 21, except I've got Ole Miss at 25 instead of Memphis.
Okay. I took the team that beat them.
I took the team that beat Alabama.
Yeah, well, what have they done lately?
Not much. Well, what's Memphis done lately?
They've been beaten by two really good teams.
All right.
Better than Ole Miss. Okay, so 20 through 16. I have LSU at 20, and I'm...
Ooh, that's a drop.
Well, I mean... That's a bad loss.
Okay.
And so I have them at 20. I have Stanford at 19, Northwestern at 18, Florida State at 17, and Utah at 16.
I have Navy at 20, Northwestern at 19, Utah at 18, Stanford at 17, and Florida State at 16.
I have Navy at 15, with Houston at 14, TCU 13, Michigan 12, Baylor 11.
UH 15, LSU 14, Michigan 13, Baylor 12, TCU 11.
All right, now we get into the top 10.
That means we have the same top 10. I'm curious to see our order.
Yeah, I've moved these around a lot, especially I was pretty settled on my top four, but I bounced around 5 through 10 a lot. At number 10, I have North Carolina.
I do too.
At number 9, I have Michigan State.
Okay, we differ there. I've got Iowa at 9.
I have Iowa at 8.
I've got Michigan State at 8.
At 7, I have Oklahoma.
Florida at 7
for me. And I have Florida at 6.
Oklahoma at 6 for me.
Yeah, so we're in the neighborhood. All right, number 5, I have Notre Dame.
I have Oak State.
Okay, I have Oak State 4. I have them as one of the playoff teams. Obviously, Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, I think, is
1, 2, 3.
Yeah. I think that's pretty safe.
And the reason why I still have Oklahoma State at 5 is because I have the same argument against them that I did for Baylor. Is they didn't do anything non-conference.
And that's fair. I would also say that their win over TCU did not look nearly as good
especially when TCU almost lost to Kansas.
TCU almost lost to Kansas. And see, and that's why these things are going to move around so much here, because I could see Okie State, even if they run the table, I mean, a lot's going to depend on what TCU does against OU and,
right,
and Baylor. And same thing with Baylor, and same thing with OU. I mean, one of those teams needs to kind of dominate the other one, and other two, and then Okie State needs to beat them.
Okay,
and I think that clinches it for him.
And you know what I said, that we both have the same top 10. Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Oklahoma State, OU, Florida, Mississippi State, Iowa, North Carolina. Those were both of our top 10 in some order.
Yeah, and they were pretty close. We flip-flop here and there.
Can we agree that those are the only 10 teams that have a chance to be in the Final Four?
I'm not going to say that, no.
Because, who else?
Because even where TCU is, if they win out impressively, then they will have beaten, you know, then they're going to beat Baylor and Oklahoma. And, I mean, I still think weird stuff could happen. If Notre Dame loses to Stanford, right, that's their second loss.
Okay.
They're done. Let's say Florida loses to Florida State and winds up with two losses, then you can throw them out of the mix. Ohio State and Michigan State are going to play each other. Ohio State and Iowa, or Michigan State and Iowa, are going to play each other. I think Clemson's very safe. And if they don't win out, and North Carolina beats them, then I think that's North Carolina's spot.
Right. So, that's what I'm saying. I think Clemson or North Carolina's in. The ACC championship winner is in.
I think that's safe.
The SEC championship winner is likely in.
Likely in.
I don't see Alabama losing again.
Yeah, I don't think Florida can score enough to beat them. But
way it would happen is if Florida lost to Florida State, which I guess is still a possibility.
And then beat Alabama.
Right.
And then you would have and that's when I...
And then you have to say, are they really going to leave the SEC out of this thing, which would shock me.
Yeah,
and if all these teams start losing, and then you're like, well, are we going to put a two-loss SEC team in over a... I mean, a two-loss SEC team is going to get in over a two-loss any other team. We know that.
Right.
Ohio State, Michigan State, Iowa, one of those teams is going to win the Big Ten. They're probably going to get a spot.
Yeah, I think you're safe. The Big Ten is safe, I think, and I think the ACC is safe right now.
Okay. And then I think either Notre Dame or either Oklahoma State or OU wins out, and that team gets in.
Yeah.
But I really think the Big 12 for TCU and Baylor, I think not having a conference championship game and losing this late in the season is too much to overcome.
Well, especially because, especially Baylor's case, they just don't have enough of a body of work. And I think Baylor's a pretty good football team.
But they don't deserve to be in the playoff.
No, they don't. But I think if they win out and some of this other stuff happens, I mean, we're talking about weird scenarios, but we see it every year. We used to see it when it was two teams.
Right.
Last year it all kind of fell into place and made sense. And, I mean, I could see an all-hell-break-loose scenario where the Big 12 teams all beat each other and you can't put them in. Notre Dame loses to Stanford. The Florida-Alabama thing happens. And suddenly, I mean, are you looking at two-loss Michigan or something? If they, yeah, I mean, there's all kinds.
I don't think
so. I don't. It's not likely. In fact, it's probably pretty far-fetched. But I don't think it's,
because then are you going to put a two-loss Michigan in over a two-loss Utah that beat Michigan?
Utah could easily have a third loss, though.
They could, but I mean, I'm just saying, if you've got two or three losses, I can't feel bad for you missing out.
No,
you know, once you hit that second loss, if you get left out, I don't feel bad. I can't feel bad for you. And like I said, I think the teams, I don't know if there is a team now going forward that can afford to lose another game and still will get in.
Yeah, because
Look at those top ten.
Because if Clemson loses, they're losing to North Carolina.
Right, and they're out.
Yeah. I think Ohio State could, well, no, because they won't get to the championship likely if they lose to Michigan State or Michigan.
Right.
Yeah.
And Ohio State's body of work is not fantastic.
No,
they don't have a great win yet. And if they go ahead and lose.
But they've got two good games coming up that will give them those wins.
But if they lose one of them,
yeah,
you can forget it.
Yeah.
I mean, I really think
Virginia Tech is not a great win.
No, I think we're going to have to, we're looking at it now as any of these teams that want to make the playoffs cannot afford to lose again. And like I said, I think it's down to the top 10. If you want to throw a TCU and Baylor into that,
I think it's an extreme long shot, but I don't think it's impossible. If we were playing one of the odds Wednesday, I would say less than 4%.
But I mean,
but that is still a possibility.
If you want to throw those two in, that's my top 12 now. but they're in the same boat, obviously, that if they lose again, that their season is over.
And one of them is going to lose again because they play each other.
Yeah. I just don't think now any of these teams at the top, if they want to make the playoffs still, you have to have lost already. You know, none of these teams are so high up there that they can afford a loss and they're still going to make it like Alabama did, you know, last year. It's not going to work that way.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Pub Fiction in Midtown, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And as you heard Big Voice Guy say, we are at Pub Fiction. Actually, we're on third floor, which is right above Pub Fiction. But out here because the Rotary Lombardi Award finalists were announced, there's a lot going on with charity out here, too. And here to tell us all about it is a gentleman who I enjoyed watching play when I was a kid at the University of Houston. Fantastic running back, played for Bill Yeoman's teams, some great, great teams back then. Alois Blackwell joins us. How are you, sir? It is an honor.
I'm doing wonderful, and thank you for the compliment.
You look in better shape than Fred. How is this possible?
I tell you, I have to work out a lot.
You're taking care of your body, huh?
I try.
That's good for you. What are you doing? What do you do? You go to the gym, or are you like one of these old school guys who like just believes in sit-ups and push-ups?
Well, one of the things that I do, 5 days a week, I get up on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Hot yoga.
And I do 3 miles. I did hot yoga once.
Okay.
About 2 months ago with a friend of mine. And Saturday, I do 3 miles. And the NFL had a program that they came through called the Breakfast Club, and a lot of guys came, and we worked out at the YMCA for about 6 weeks, and that was really fantastic because they fed you, they gave you a PT, they had a nutritionist, and they gave you a workout program. So all that helped me to really get in really good shape.
Good for you. Looking good, my man, looking good.
Thank you, sir.
So tell us what all is going on out here with the Lombardi Award.
Well, we're doing the Lombardi. We were here today to unveil the four finalists for the Lombardi Awards, and so the four finalists were Joey Barbosa from Ohio State, and then right here in Texas we had Miles Garrett from Texas A&M. And then the other person that we had was Shaq Lawson from Clemson University, and then Carl Nezet from Penn State. So those were the four finalists.
I was when I saw those finalists, the name that kind of surprised me was Joey Bosa, who, you know, coming into the year, you would have said that guy's a lock to be on the list. But he's not had near the year that he had last year.
Yeah, right.
And he missed a couple games.
Right.
Do you guys kind of give him maybe a little bit of a break because of the games he missed? Because when you compare what he's done this season to some of these other guys, it's hard to put him on that same page.
Well, the good thing about that is I'm the person that does the announcement of the four people.
Okay.
The people that can actually compiled and come up with come from the 12 down to the four.
It's not on you.
And that's not me at all. So I can't take credit for that.
I want to vote on something. I feel we've got you here. What does it take to get a vote on this thing? What do I have to go to? I have to go through?
I tell you what. As soon as we finish the interview, I will set you up, and you can start doing that.
Good. I want to hear. Okay. I want to know.
We can
about
do
this.
That. Yeah.
I feel like I deserve to have this honor.
And I know you going to the University of Houston. That
don't give him preference now. I know that's what you're trying to do.
You remember Wilson Whitley?
I do.
So
remember
in 1976, Wilson Whitley, a friend of mine, teammate. And he won the Lombardi here in Houston, so that was really one of my first affiliations with the Lombardi. And then being on the executive committee has given me more, has deepened my understanding of the various things that they do here, charitable wise, with the event.
And that was the first year of the Southwest Conference. And I can't remember who won the conference that year. I think it was – oh, yeah, it was you guys.
That's right. and we went on to the Cotton Bowl and beat Maryland in the Cotton Bowl.
Randy White.
Right. Yeah. Tim Camp.
Yeah.
And so beat them in the Cotton Bowl. They were undefeated. But think about this. Those Cougs are doing excellent right now. I mean, 10-0, fantastic. So hopefully get past Navy, get past
Connecticut. Yeah. Get
that New Year's Day Bowl. Big time.
Yeah,
huge.
That Navy game's going to be something. If you can get be unbeaten going into that one, that's going to be quite a game.
Mr. Blackwell and I both have friends who are Lombardi Trophy winners. Fred, do you have a friend you want to name drop?
No.
Good. We're in a select group,
okay,
my man.
And your friend?
Brian Arakpo.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He won when he was at Texas. Yeah. And Derek Johnson should have won, but you got ripped off.
Wow. Is that one person's opinion? Or
No, that's everyone's opinion. Fred will agree with
that's
that.
That's why he wants a vote.
We'll get Fred in there, too.
Okay, I don't know. No, it's not listen, this is for me.
Okay, I'm just going to do
I
it
asked
for you.
First.
Okay, I'll just do it for you.
Fred, he could die any minute now. Look at the man. I mean,
he looks like in great shape. And with the Cougars winning, he has to be doing
that.
Good.
Has pumped new life into him. I will give you that. He is rejuvenated a bit.
Man, I signed up for my first half marathon the other day. I'm ready to go.
See what I'm talking about?
Talk to me after the half marathon when he's dead in the middle of the street out here. What are we going to do?
Hey, are we optimistic or what?
It'll be good for ratings. So what do we got going on out here with these bids and stuff?
Yeah, how are we making money for these kids?
Yeah, these are the young professionals. This is I'm on the executive committee, and we have another organization called the Young Professionals, and they support the Lombardi Award, and we're just trying to get the younger people involved in the process of the event. So that's part of it, and we have gotten different silent auction award items to bid on.
Lois Blackwell has been our guest, and I want to ask you a general question about the NFL real quick, because we were talking about running backs a little bit earlier, and there doesn't seem to be the go-to guys that we saw for a long time. A lot of teams are doing the running back by committee thing.
Right.
Well, the position is kind of dying off.
Yeah.
We've transitioned to a passing league.
As a former running back, how do you feel about that, and do you think that's something that will turn back around?
Well, I think that basically it turning back around, I don't know when that will actually take place, because you have all these specialty coaches. You have guys that you bring in that just do one or two things. Back in the day, you had guys stay on the team a lot longer, and so they had to do multiple things, play special teams, you know, and do a whole lot of other things. But now it's so specialized that as far as running backs, people like the excitement of passing, and you get more people involved.
Do you think that guys like Todd Gurley, who looks like he is going to be a star, you know, Leonard Fournette when he gets to the league, do you think that there are guys like that who can still keep that position relevant?
I think that it will be guys that still can keep that position relevant. But just the special players. And I go back and reference Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
He's a guy.
Still doing it.
Still doing it. But because the team and the concept is centered around running the ball and getting him in positions to be able to get yardage.
Well, you know, you could still – I mean, you see the Seahawks have been to the Super Bowl the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's not because their passing game. It's because
Marshawn
Lynch. I just think that it takes special players now to really make an impact at running back. You know, there was a time when every running back on every team was an impactful player.
Exactly.
And that's just not the case anymore.
True.
There's a handful of guys in the league now.
That's true. But when you think about it, the teams that actually win – they got a good running back.
Except the Patriots. They don't need one.
Well, they got
they've got a magician
at quarterback. They got a quarterback.
He's Illuminati. He doesn't count.
And anything that comes up that's questionable, the Patriots sometimes are involved.
You calling them cheaters?
No, I'm not calling them.
You want to go on record as that?
No.
Calling them a cheater?
I got to go up to Boston.
Now, and I'll say this, you know, as a former Cowboy, there's a lot of people say that you could just throw anybody behind that Cowboys line and they can do well. And we've seen Darren McFadden have sort of a career rejuvenation there.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, there's the Joseph Randall was running well early this season before he got booted out of there.
Right.
I mean, do you believe that there's some teams that are just built to accommodate running backs better than others now?
I think what Jerry did in regards to the different draft choices, the first-round draft picks that he put on the offensive line, and then being able to get the guy from out of LSU that should have went in the top 10 yeah. but didn't go at all, to be able to have it stacked like that with Doug Free being the oldest guy on the line, I think that they did an exceptional job in regards to being able to run the ball.
Well, one thing that I think I always – when I watch running backs now, it seems like they take more punishment than anybody, not just because they're running the ball and getting hit, and they're often getting hit at the bottom of the pile,
right.
but they also have to block. Do you think that's one reason why teams have not devalued them but basically gone to using more than one just to keep guys fresh?
I think that that's part of the concept behind it, because you can do more things. Because you might have a running back and you can't do all those things. He might can run the ball, but can't necessarily block as well. He may not be able to catch as well. So with all those different substitutions and packages that they run, you can be able to do pretty much what you want to do in various situations based off the fact that you can put in an extra receiver, you can put in an extra tight end, to accommodate some of the deficiencies that you may would have if you have to have just a running back doing it all.
All right, that's Lois Blackwell. And Mr. Blackwell, an honor to have you on, sir. Appreciate it.
Hey, it was a pleasure.
Is it true you're a listener of our show?
I am.
I love that. I love to hear that.
And now I'm gonna listen even more now, just to make sure you're more optimistic about Fred.
Oh, I have no idea.
He's optimistic. He's optimistic that I'm going to die any minute. So
listen, I know what's happening with this guy. I'm a realist.
It may happen in Vegas this week. Yeah. I'll be the first.
We're going to Las Vegas for four nights this week.
Well,
you think he's
going
to come back?
That's not a bad place for it to happen. At least you're having fun.
Oh, at least there I can make a bet on whether or not he'll come back.
Right,
it's not going to happen.
I'm going to die at a poker table. It's that's my destiny.
But that's the way he would like to go.
Exactly.
You know,
pretty much.
It's better than being in the hospital.
Oh, no one wants that.
Yeah.
No one wants that.
All right,
it's much better when the ambulance guys, they say, oh, he's not going to make it. Yeah. Let's not even bother putting him in the ambulance.
I hear you. Yeah,
call the hearse.
Call the hearse, yep. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. Jerome Solomon will join us. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
King of Kings.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Pub Fiction in Midtown. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at third floor, right above Pub Fiction, Midtown. If you're out here, there's some really cool stuff for the silent auction here that you can get. So come on out and check it out. Lombardi Award finalists announced. We did that a little bit earlier. Also, just some quick breaking news.
I'm getting a vote.
You are?
I'm getting a vote.
All right. Your American League Manager of the Year.
Drum roll, please.
Is?
Not A.J. Hinch.
It is a guy I went to high school with, Jeff Banister of the Texas Rangers.
Well deserved.
Yeah, well deserved. That team, he did a great job. Let's bring on Jerome Solomon, who always does a great job. And I'm sure Jerome has a bunch of votes on stuff.
He does. I know he does. And it pisses me off that I don't have a vote on anything.
Like, what do you have votes for, Jerome?
I've limited my voting to the only thing that matters, and that's the Heisman Trophy.
The Heisman Trophy, that's the only thing you vote on?
That's all I want to vote on. All that other stuff is crap.
I feel like I should be voting on everything. I don't know why no one's asked me to vote on this stuff. I don't get it.
It gets tiresome. Naismith,
you have any clout?
Vote on that and a bunch of other things, but nah.
Next time someone asks you,
I like the Heisman. That still means something to me.
Next time someone asks you to vote on something that you don't want to vote on, just pass it on to me.
So you can butcher it.
I'll take your sloppy seconds.
I bet you would. What's up, fellas?
So I don't know, man. We're just doing a little sports. How about you?
Very sportsy. I'm still half sleep since I had like an hour and a half sleep last night. The late game with the Texans and a 6 o'clock flight to get the heck out of Cincinnati this morning. That was not a wise move, and I'm paying for it now.
Hey, man, getting out of Cincinnati as fast as possible is always a good thing. So,
exactly.
Let's talk about that game a little bit last night. Terrific defensive performance. Still some issues with the offense, obviously, but your overall thoughts on your Texans after last night's game?
Yeah, I mean, the way you guys opened the show, that was dead on. I mean, they did what they needed to do, and they performed defensively. It wasn't so much that they played just great defense. It was against this particular opponent. And I know what Andy Dalton does when, you know, the sun goes down. So that was certainly a factor, especially early on. But as the Bengals continued to struggle, you could see the defense getting some confidence. And then they started playing with a little energy. And then they actually started making plays. I mean, there were plays to be made early on. The Bengals just didn't make them. The Dalton wasn't playing very well. But the defense really got full of itself. And for the first time this entire season, Romeo Crennel outcoached the other team. I mean, they were ready for what the Bengals were bringing to the table. They, you know, and Hugh Jackson knows what he's doing. He's a heck of an offense coordinator. He's a good offensive mind. All those weapons. But the Texans were right where they needed to be throughout the game. You got to give them full credit for that. And they played with some heart. I mean, I was really close to predicting a Texans victory just because I got the sense that the Bengals weren't taking this very seriously, weren't, you know, that into it, and it was time for them to lose the game. But I bailed on it because the Texans hadn't shown enough heart to win that kind of a game. They showed it last night, though.
Well, that's one of the things we were talking about is how hard it is to really judge what this team is, because we saw what they were in Miami. We saw what they were in Atlanta. And then they come out last night with that kind of defensive performance. And really two games in a row now where they played well defensively. And it's hard to take them seriously. So how do you evaluate a team like that?
I mean, they still are who we thought they were. I mean, I don't think that changes. They really are. They're a team that has some, you know, major deficiencies and weaknesses. But when the defense is going to turn the ball over and going to lock down another team, they can hide those deficiencies. And that's what they did last year. That's how they managed to get to 9 wins. You hide those deficiencies against a bunch of bad teams on a schedule, and you can win 9 games. They had managed to do it against a good team last night, and we'll see going forward if they can continue to do that. The defense has finally played, you know, somewhere near what, well, probably above what it's really supposed to play. That's not going to happen every week. But, you know, can they win a game when Hoyer plays poorly? He was not playing well last night at all. Had he stayed in the game, they still may only have 3 points. But you know, they got the one drive when they needed on him. You know, it was an average night for T.J. Yates. Not like he lit it up, but he made a couple of plays in that one drive. That's all you need against – if the other team's not going to score but 6 points, you don't need a lot of offense. They'll need some offense going forward, though.
Jerome, I got to ask you about the offense, though, because I think everybody on the planet knew that they were going to run the ball to the left side when they rushed up to the line at the one-yard line. And, I mean, they're so predictable on offense. And guys like us should not be calling out their plays before they run them. I mean, what the hell is going on with George Gotze and really the whole offense?
Just bad. I mean, man, you're right. We shouldn't be able to do that. But Tanya Ganguly, ESPN, sits next to me at most games, and she was sitting there last night, and I'm sitting there saying, not that I'm psychic, but watch this. And I was telling it because it's that obvious and they're that basic. And when you try to do something, you rush up to the line. They're not good enough to do that. They're not talented enough to rush up and try to, you know, oh, we run up here, we can get this, and we'll get a yard. Well, no, you won't. You don't have Tom Brady there. So when they try to be cute, it's too cute. When they try to line up and power somebody, it's embarrassing because they're not good enough to do that. So they're not creative enough, and that's pretty amazing for 2015 for you to have an offense with a young offensive coordinator and a young head coach who's been an offensive guy his entire life, for you to have an offense with no imagination. And it has no imagination. Of course, they don't have a bunch of game breakers, but still, you can have more imagination than they show.
I have to ask, because I can't remember the last time they ran a screen or a draw other than on 3rd and 16.
Yeah, that's what it's for.
Here's an idea when teams are.
You need to rename those plays. They're pre-punt. That's what they call pre-punt.
Yeah, you know? And there were times when the Bengals are bringing pressure. It seemed like it would have been a good call on 2nd and 8, and they never do it. It's just it is frustrating at times. But
it's like they act like they're good enough that they could beat teams straight up, and it's like, no, you're not good enough to beat teams straight up. And I know you don't want to take crazy chances and have Hoyer start turning the ball over, but screens and draws are not going to turn it over. So you can.
No, those are.
Get some.
Those are safe plays.
Yeah, run some different sets and formations. But, I mean, they're limited at tight end, they're limited at receiver other than DeAndre Hopkins. They might as well not even put a guy in the backfield half the time, because that's a wasted body on the field. So I know they don't have a lot to work with, but I don't think they're taking advantage of what they do have anyway.
I think it'd be smarter to play with 6 offensive linemen and put a running back out there.
They have 6 offensive linemen.
Oh, yeah, good call, Fred. Good call.
They did that quite a few times last night, too. Every time you look around, they were, getting eligible backs out there. But, I mean, extra linemen, but that didn't work. That didn't work either, So it's that's going to kill them against Buffalo. That can kill them against the Jets. You guys are talking about, well, now after this win, it makes you think of that they're, those games are a lot more winnable than you thought. Well, yeah, if they only give up 6 points, but
right,
you still don't see them scoring more than 10 points against those two teams either, probably. So
right.
I don't know. We still don't know, and we won't know.
All right. Well, that's Jerome Solomon, Houston Chronicle columnist, all around good guy. Jerome, appreciate the time as always. Go get some rest, my man.
All right, fellas, take it easy.
All right.
He's got those kids in that house.
Yeah, there's no rest. So that's why you go to Vegas, so you can rest.
Exactly. I'm the only person who can sleep in Vegas.
All right.
Is rooms at the Luxor, is it the same as Excalibur where they don't have blackout curtains?
They're worse. Dude, that is the worst hotel.
No.
I guess it's okay for us. I don't want to complain about the hotel when we're getting
I just want to be able to sleep. That's all
to Vegas,
I care about.
But when there's little kids walking around from the pool, basically dragging water all over the casino in front of you, and, some of the worst customer service of any place I've ever been, it's just, I don't plan on spending much time there. We'll just say that. There's plenty of other poker rooms around. Plenty of places to be, so I will sleep there. That will be about it. All right. Oh, no. Now you put a really horrible thought in my head. What if I die in a room at the Luxor?
Oh, that'd be fitting.
No, it wouldn't. No, if I'm going to die in Vegas, I want it to be at MGM or someplace like that.
You're not that kind of a guy, Fred.
No, I'm an MGM guy. MGM's kind of seedy. It's not, it's not like the Wynn.
No, it's not.
No, I wouldn't want to die at the Wynn or Trump.
Where there's no casino? Oh,
no, that would be even worse, yeah. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Pub Fiction in Midtown. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. I want to thank Tyler filling in for Jong today, who is sick. Apparently something's going around because my wife's sick as a dog, and I'm completely avoiding her because I do not want to get sick before I go to Vegas.
My kid got sick, my older kid, had to come home from school on Thursday and miss school on Friday, and he had strep throat.
Ugh.
And I was almost certain that it was going to be passed on to me because that's just the way it works. And remarkably, he made a full recovery, and no one else in my house got sick.
That's great.
I couldn't believe it.
Because
it never
especially
happened that
way. You know how it is, kids that age, they're germ machines. Man.
Yeah, and they're like, you know, high-fiving each other and stealing food off of each other's plates. And
yeah, and passing on lice and strep throat and pink eye and every other thing.
By the way, Joe Madden named the National League Manager of the Year for the Cubs. So
apparently DJ Swearinger just waived by the Bucks.
He was waived earlier today. Yeah, I forgot to talk about that. No surprise.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not played well, but that –
yet another great draft pick by this group.
Well, DJ Swearinger does some things well, but he doesn't do enough things well to make up for the things that he does very poorly.
Yeah.
And that's what it boils down
He's never really been able to get those things out of his game, and he's got the talent.
Yep.
But anyway, 713-780-ESPN, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Well, we mentioned we're going to Vegas tomorrow.
Yes.
And an Irishman did the same thing. He went to Vegas and went and borrowed his son's GoPro.
Okay.
Because he wanted to get pictures of him going around the strip and going to different places in Vegas.
Hooking up with rando chicks.
Maybe. I don't know. He's an Irishman, so you can figure that out for yourself. But apparently, there was only one thing wrong. He didn't really know how to use it, so the entire trip, the GoPro is basically facing him, right into his face. So he has nothing from his Vegas trip of the GoPro other than his own face.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, which, you know, nice idea, but...
At least
you
tried.
How hard is it not to turn that thing around? How can you not check it or turn it around or figure out how it works?
He's probably really old.
Yeah, I guess, but I would
see that happening to you.
Oh, no. I would figure, well, maybe. I don't know. It was when the wife did her rappelling thing, they had a GoPro on there, and she actually downloaded the video, and it was pretty good except for the fact that you could tell how scared she was because every time she would look off over the city to get the really cool shot, go right back to looking at the building.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because she was just like, ah. Yeah. But anyway, but let this be a lesson.
It's a great thing. Like, when I was in the Army, we rappelled out of helicopters. And if you looked to the left and it scared you and you looked back forward, it looked exactly the same. And there was nothing that was going to save you. It all felt terribly uncomfortable and awkward.
Well, that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day. So play the music again, Tyler.
Tyler, play the music again.
I'm
Tyler.
Oh, okay. Let's forget about the music. It's the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
It's the Gym of the Day.
Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
Yeah.
All right.
Tyler, that's live version. Live version.
That was terrible on your part.
I apologize. I'll shame bell myself.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, if you can actually. There you go.
You can find the shame bell, but not the Gym of the Day music.
Exactly. Yeah, you almost get two shames for that.
Yeah.
Texter asking, how much of the...
Shame.
I said almost. This is not going well, pal. Come on. See, you started bragging after one segment. That's how you. That's how these things...
Good.
This is how things go to hell.
His confidence was high.
Yeah, and that was one segment. We have a bunch of them. Anyway, how much did the bye week have to do with the Texans winning and having more time to prepare for the game?
It definitely helped, I think.
It helped, but the Bengals were also coming off a Thursday night game, so I think that mitigates it a little bit. They had a little extra time, too. So it obviously helps to have that much time to prepare for a team. But, you know, I don't think it was the usual advantage you would get off a team that was playing a week before.
When's the last time a team had three consecutive primetime games? Bengals played Thursday night last week, Monday night this week, Sunday night this coming week.
Yeah, I think they've got another one coming up, too.
That's
got
to be pretty rare, right?
Yeah.
And of all the teams to do it, wouldn't the Bengals be, like, pretty low on your list of teams you'd expect to have that happen with? Like, if it was Cowboys, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, Patriots.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if every game the Patriots played was prime time.
That throws me off a little bit. Bengals, three straight primetime games.
Well, at least they're interesting this year.
They are.
Well, they got flexed into this one, right?
Maybe that's what it is. I forgot they've started flex scheduling now.
Yeah, so
that's going to be a good game, Cincinnati and Arizona.
Yeah, I can't wait for that one, actually.
I mean, that's two of the four or five best teams in the league. That's going to be a fun game.
And Carson Palmer against his old mates.
Yep. I have a feeling Carson's going to feel good at the end of that game. He's gonna be glad he's where he is.
What was that you said there, Tyler?
He said sports mania.
Oh, okay. And what did he mean by that?
Well, he wanted me to do a read, but for some reason my internet's dead, so I may have to do it on the other side of this break.
Oh, well.
Which?
All right, we could talk for another minute while you try to. The problem is now there's a bunch of people in here, and they're all using the internet.
They are all using up the Wi-Fi.
And that makes it difficult for
damn it
for us to call up our live read stuff.
Well, I'll just go ahead and tell you about sports manias anyway, from my recollection, because I know about sports manias. I know what's up with this. And if your fantasy team sucks, and I'm not going to lie, I lost this week to a team that was 1-8. It was one of the most shameful moments in my fantasy football life. But I will say what's helped me most of this season has been sports manias. It's a great app. It's free at the App Store. Go to the App Store now, download sports manias, one word. And what it does is it gives you a personalized feed. You import your teams from ESPN, CBS, Yahoo into sports manias. And it gives you basically a live feed on everything that's going on with your players. So you can go through, see from all around the country, top reporters, top guys from all around the country are going to tell you exactly what's going on with your guys. And it's going to help you make the smartest lineup decisions. You're going to see your players and just your players, so you're not sifting through everybody else's nonsense to find out the information that's important to you. It's a really useful tool, really easy to navigate. I've been using this thing all season, and it's helped me quite a bit because I have leagues on all those formats, so I've been dealing with – I've always dealt with that, trying to sift through and find all my players. I don't have to deal with that now that I've got Sports Manias. Go to the App Store. It's free. There's no reason for you not to. Go to the App Store. Download it now. One word, Sports Manias. That's Sports Manias. In my cubicle, where I hide out from my boss. In my cubicle, where I get lost in my thoughts. Although my life is beautiful.